Chapter 8. Looking Back from a Higher Level. As I look back on my experiences, it's interesting to reflect on how my perspectives have changed. When I started out, each and every twist and turn I encountered, whether in the markets or in my life in general, looked really big and dramatic up close, like unique life or death experiences that were coming at me fast. With time and experience, I came to see each encounter as another one of those that I could approach more calmly and analytically, like a biologist might approach an encounter with a threatening creature in the jungle. First, by identifying its species, and then drawing on his prior knowledge about its expected behaviors and reacting appropriately. When I was faced with the types of situations I had encountered before, I drew on the principles I had learned for dealing with them. But when I ran into new ones I hadn't seen before, I would be painfully surprised. By studying all those painful first-time encounters, I learned that even if they hadn't happened to me, most of them had happened to other people in other times and places, which gave me a healthy respect for history, a hunger to have a universal understanding of how reality works, and the desire to build timeless and universal principles for dealing with it. Watching the same things happen again and again, I began to see reality as a gorgeous perpetual motion machine, in which causes become effects that become causes of new effects and so on. I realized that reality was, if not perfect, at least what we are given to deal with, so that any problems or frustrations I had with it were more productively directed to dealing with them effectively than complaining about them. I came to understand that my encounters were tests of my character and creativity. Over time, I came to appreciate what a tiny and short-lived part of that remarkable system I am, and how it's both good for me and good for the system for me to know how to interact with it well. In gaining this perspective, I began to experience painful moments in a radically different way. Instead of feeling frustrated or overwhelmed, I saw pain as nature's reminder that there is something important for me to learn. Encountering pains and figuring out the lessons they were trying to give me became sort of a game for me. The more I played it, the better I got at it, the less painful those situations became, and the more rewarding the process of reflecting, developing principles, and then getting rewards for using those principles became. I learned to love my struggles, which I suppose is a healthy perspective to have, like learning to love exercising, which, by the way, I haven't managed yet to do. In my early years, I looked up to extraordinarily successful people, thinking that they were successful because they were extraordinary. After I got to know such people personally, I realized that all of them, like me, like everyone, make mistakes, struggle with their weaknesses, and don't feel that they are particularly special or great. They are no happier than the rest of us, and they struggle just as much or more than average folks. Even after they surpass their wildest dreams, they still experience more struggle than glory. This has certainly been true for me. While I surpassed my wildest dreams decades ago, I'm still struggling today. In time, I realized that the satisfaction of success doesn't come from achieving your goals, but from struggling well. To understand what I mean, imagine your greatest goal, whatever it is, making a ton of money, winning an Academy Award, running a great organization, being great at a sport. Now imagine instantaneously achieving it. You'd be happy at first, but not for long. You would soon find yourself needing something else to struggle for. Just look at people who attain their dreams early, the early childhood star, the lottery winner, the professional athlete who peaks early. They typically don't end up happy unless they get excited about something else bigger and better to struggle for. Since life brings us both ups and downs, struggling well doesn't just make your ups better. It makes your downs less bad. I'm still struggling, and I will until I die, because even if I try to avoid the struggles, they will find me. Thanks to all that struggling and learning, I have done everything I wanted to do, gone everywhere I wanted to go, met whomever I wanted to meet, gotten everything I wanted to own, and had a career that has been enthralling and, most rewardingly, had many wonderful relationships. I have experienced the full range from having nothing to having an enormous amount, from being a nobody to being a somebody, so I know the differences. While I experience them going from the bottom up rather than the top down, which is preferable and probably influenced my perspective, my assessment is that the incremental benefits of having a lot and being on top are not nearly as great as most people think. Having the basics, a good bed to sleep in, good relationships, good food, and good sex is most important. And those things don't get much better when you have a lot of money, or much worse when you have less. And the people one meets at the top aren't necessarily more special than those that one meets at the bottom or in between. The marginal benefits of having more fall off pretty quickly. In fact, having a lot more is worse than having a moderate amount more because it comes with heavy burdens. Being on top gives you a wider range of options, but it also requires more of you. Being well known is probably worse than being anonymous, all things considered. And while the beneficial impact one could have on others is great, when you put it in perspective, it's still infinitesimally small. For those reasons, I can't say that having an intense life filled with accomplishments is better than having a relaxed life filled with savoring, though I can say being strong is better than being weak, and that struggling gives one strength. My nature being what it is, I would not have changed my life, but I can't tell you what's best for you. That is for you to choose. What I've seen is that the happiest people discover their own nature and match their life to it. Now that my desire to succeed has given way to a desire to help others succeed, that's my current struggle. It's now clear to me that my purpose, your purpose, and the purpose of everything is to evolve and contribute to evolution in some small way. I didn't think about that at the start. I just went after the things I wanted. But along the way, I evolved, and I am now sharing these principles with you to help you evolve. I realized that passing on knowledge is like passing on DNA. It is more important than the individual because it lives beyond the individual's life. This is my attempt to help you succeed by passing along to you what I learned about how to struggle well, or at the very least, to help you get the most out of each unit of effort you put in. Principles. Good principles are effective ways of dealing with reality. To learn my own, I spend a lot of time reflecting. So rather than just giving you my principles, I will share the reflections behind them. I believe that everything that happens comes about because of cause-effect relationships that repeat and evolve over time. At the Big Bang, all the laws and forces of the universe were created and propelled forward, interacting with each other over time, like a complex series of machines that work together. The structure of the galaxies, the makeup of Earth's geography and ecosystems, our economies and markets, and each one of us. Individually, we are machines made up of different machines, our circulatory system, our nervous system, and so on. They produce our thoughts, our dreams, our emotions, and every other aspect of our distinct personalities. All of these machines are evolving together to produce the realities we encounter every day. Look to the patterns of those things that affect you in order to understand the cause-effect relationships that drive them and to learn principles for dealing with them effectively. By doing this, you will begin to understand how the machinery underlying any another one of those works and develop a mental map for dealing with it. As your understanding of these relationships grows, the essentials stand out from the blizzard of things coming at you. You will notice which one of these you are facing and instinctively apply the right principles to help you through it. Reality, in turn, will send you loud signals about how well your principles are working by rewarding or punishing you, so you will learn to fine-tune them accordingly. Having good principles for dealing with the realities we encounter is the most important driver of how well we handle them. I'm not saying that all people have the same encounters. It's certainly the case that different people in different parts of the world face different challenges. Still, most of our encounters with reality fall under one category or another, and the number of these categories is not enormous. If you were to write down what type of encounter you have every time you have one, such as the birth of a child, the loss of a job, a personal disagreement, and so on, and compile them into a list, it would probably just be in the hundreds of items, and only a few of them would be unique to you. You might want to try this. Not only will you see for yourself if what I'm saying is true, but you will also start to build a list of things you need to think about and have principles for. Whatever success I've had is because of the principles I followed and not because of anything unique about me, so anyone following these principles can expect to produce broadly similar results. That said, I don't want you to follow my principles or anyone's principles blindly. I suggest that you think through all the principles available to you from different sources and put together a collection of your own that you can turn to whenever anyone sends to you another one of those. Life and work principles are organized at three different levels. Higher level principles are also the chapter titles. Mid-level principles appear within each chapter and are designated by numbers. Sub-principles fall under the mid-level principles and are introduced with letters. If it would help you to see how these principles are organized as an outline, refer to the PDF included within this audio program, or get the print book.